Blog Talk Radio.
Had a good week and an even better weekend. Wasn't so bad for us. Got to go to Busch, which was really cool. I love Busch Gardens. You'll probably hear quite a bit about me going to Busch Gardens this year. My co-host, I think, actually worked at Busch Gardens at one point. We actually met at Busch Gardens, so I'm going to bring her on so we can talk, and we're just going to shoot the breeze tonight. Hold on a second. I'll bring her on.
Hi, Wendy.
Are you there?
I'm here.
How are you tonight?
We're doing much better than we were 2 weeks ago. That's for sure. My family's getting over COVID, so I'm hoping to return to work here on Wednesday. Like I said, we're doing a. Luckily, the kids did not come down with it, which is nice. We took all the major precautions in the house and everything, so that's a blessing that they did not catch it, and it was just us adults having to fight the crud.
Oh my goodness, bless your heart! Wow. Gosh, sorry to hear about that, but glad to hear that everybody's well and the kids didn't get it.
Yeah, we were very blessed. Me, my fiance, and my mother-in-law, we all had mild cases. So, all just a few doctor's visits to like little clinic and minute clinic, and nobody ended up in the hospital. So that's always a blessing.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's definitely one of the things that's going on this year, and I'm hoping it's going to end up being not all year like it was last year, and everybody's going to be happy and safe and better. And so, but anyway, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I did work at Busch Gardens. It was actually my first job in a professional workplace. When I was enrolled over at Virginia State University my freshman year, I got some work experience there as a librarian's assistant. And I also worked in my stepfather's building. He is a technician and now an educator with Virginia State University. Yeah. He taught me mostly of what I know about computers up till I got a associate degree through Centura College in Newport News. My fiance, children, and I now live in Georgia. We no longer live in Virginia. And I work for Kroger as a associate in ClickList. I kind of have a low-level supervisor position with them now, where I don't do manager work, but when the leads and the managers aren't there, that's where I'm in charge. And my other coworker, there's usually two of us on duty that are in charge trying to run things. And I also work at Office Depot.
Oh my goodness, Dad, you are just busy, busy, busy.
The kids are 4 and 5 now, so they definitely keep us on our toes. I converted to Wicca in 2014. I got started on my religious education through friends of mine, and also I took a religions class on early religions. And that's where I kind of just started doing my own research and talking to my friends, kind of getting a feel for various religions, because I don't feel like anyone has a really wrong answer to religion. And Wicca is the one that clicked for me as I matured more into my adult life. I was raised in the Baptist church. My parents and step parents are Baptists, and I grew up in a small congregation because I was raised between Williamsburg and Colonial Heights, between those two churches, they were fairly small congregations. So we were part of a very tight knit community, and now as a pagan. I'm in a community on Facebook with some of my gamer friends, where I have found a community of Wiccans and witches that, you know, we all kind of just bump off each other if we have questions or anything like that. And that's a lot of fun because then you can connect with other people around your age and everything like that. If you have any questions, because some people may have more experience than you do.
Right, of course. Gosh, that sounds it's always nice, and even if it's somewhere like Facebook, to get together with like-minded people and, you know, share your thoughts and your feelings and just congregate together. And especially nowadays when you can't go into the churches, and although I think some of the churches have gone back, but just to get together, I mean, just you always have to have that person or people around you that kind of understand where you are and how you feel, what your feelings are. And so, but before we get into actually what you are, a hearth witch, I would like to bring on our love witch, who is Diana Palm. And we're going to let her talk about herself a little bit, because she could probably talk about it way better than I can. But I did bring her in because I had met her a few months ago from a friend. She was an amazing lady. She is actually joining us on a hopefully weekly or monthly basis to come in and share her thoughts on love. And we'll just let her talk about herself a little bit. Hold on one second. Let me bring her on. Diana, are you there?
I am. Hello, hello.
Hi, beautiful lady. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
So we're sitting around with Jan tonight, and we're just thinking about different things. And how have you been doing this week?
Well, I've been doing fantastic. My birthday was yesterday, so it was a really awesome day of celebration. And I did go out and see some friends that I haven't seen for a long time, and it was just really special. It's always good to have some love wins and, like, treat yourself special and be around people you love. So it was a beautiful day and a beautiful week.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, we brought you on because I want Heartspeels to be – it's a place for women, and it's definitely a podcast to women from women. But one of our biggest things as a woman is love. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you are the love witch?
Absolutely. Yes, I'd love to. So I've been doing spiritual healing my entire life. Since I was a very young girl, as a natural medium, psychic, I've educated myself my entire life. I've worked with healing priests, shaman. I've been all over the world and studying energy, different religions, spirituality, every different modality you can probably imagine. I've experienced. I have a huge network of friends that are professional healers that we've all shared work and studied together. And so my journey has led me through initially working a lot with people that were really haunted and really struggling with psychic attack, moving through paranormal groups, working with hospice. And now my whole focus is on my abilities, using all my spiritual gifts and abilities to bring people into a higher state of love vibration to attract and keep their soulmate. So I focus where the beginning was more of the struggle and lifting people and helping them come from the lowest places that humans can experience, moving them through these different layers. And now the end result is just getting into the love vibration. So I'm just more streamlining on the love, helping these people come together, healing hearts, and just creating more love and abundance on the earth. So that's my main focus.
That is amazing.
Thank you. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah, we got to meet you couple months ago through some great friends of ours, John and Anita.
Yep.
So it was an unusual experience, but it was an amazing experience.
Absolutely. And I've known John and Anita for so many years. When I was I was living in one haunted house after the next, after the next. My daughter and I both being mediums, we could see things. We had a lot of empathic abilities, of course, but we could also see a lot of ghosts. And we actually met John and Anita, I think it was in the year 2003 or 2004, and they helped us out to get actual concrete evidence, which was so amazing. Up until that point, I hadn't done anything in terms of the paranormal field. And I can't tell you how validating that is when you're feeling and experiencing spirit, but then to get it recorded and to know that it's a fact, that it's real, that you're not crazy, that you're not losing your mind. You know, so they just opened up a huge doorway for me, and I began working with them, working with many other paranormal groups, then starting my own and really being able to streamline my gifts as a natural medium and healer to work within that field. So they were really pivotal on my journey. They're dear friends of mine. So, yeah, that was a pleasure to meet you and Eric there, too, at the paranormal event.
Right, yeah, he's sitting here with me. He's smiling ear to ear because we remember the meeting you, and it was just amazing. And hope to So, can you give our listeners some advice tonight for the week ahead? Maybe for their daily lives. Maybe if they're looking for love, I do have a question. I know. That I put out there for people to write in to me if they had any questions. We do have one in particular. So if you could just kind of give us a little bit.
Yes. So first of all, I'd like to tell people that this is really an ideal time. In terms of what you may be experiencing financially or through a lot of shifts and changes this last year, as we're stepping into 2021, I want to let you know that so many things are changing, and there is this beautiful opening that more energies are coming together, more love is coming together, more soulmates are finding each other. So if you've been really, really struggling this last year or kind of at the tail end of struggling for like 5 years or 10 years, things are about to shift and change. But this time that we've had in isolation is really pivotal to prepare yourself for this change, to prepare your heart, to really release, like wring out the pain and sorrow that you carry in your heart so that you're vibrationally ready and that you're a match for this love that's coming in. Because there's never really been a time on earth where I've seen so many soulmates coming in. And it's like divine timing. It's just the time for it. And so there's really, really good things coming, but I want to encourage everybody to really release the past and do what you need to heal your heart so that you're ready for this energy and this beautiful love coming in.
Wow, that's amazing. That's very encouraging to me, actually.
I'll say, because I can tell from my own experience being in quarantine. We've been in quarantine for about a month now because we've pretty much been in quarantine since Christmas Day. And I, my daughter and you know, she's 5 years old, and her classmates had called her on Zoom the other day, and I felt that they all have a very strong connection of love because of not only their age, but these kids seem like they get really close, and you can tell when they're really missing somebody. But also that strengthens the connection between these children. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And in terms of our isolation and stuff, it's like such an opportunity to learn how to connect. You know, as a medium, we connect with the spirit world all the time. We're very aware of different energies and messages. And it's kind of like everyone's getting a little dose of that. So it's like we're all isolated. We're kind of in bubbles, but we can still find so many ways to connect and be emotionally connected, even though the people aren't there in person, you know. And so we're learning some new skills through this, and it's really making the world smaller. We're able to be connected even if we're not there in person. And so I think it's really a very interesting time that we're kind of expanding our own abilities for connection.
Wow, definitely. It just seems like 2000 and 2020 just kind of separated everybody, but then on the other hand, it kind of brought everybody closer.
It did, and it brought to mind the importance of people, the necessity to reach out, the creative ability to find new ways to connect and communicate, more open-heartedness. So there's been a lot of shifting and healing and a lot of purging of old energies. And so, you know, globally, we've been going through this amazing and beautiful transition, even though it doesn't look beautiful. A lot of things that we've been through this last year looked scary and terrifying and isolating and lonely and all these other energies, but those are being like run out, you know, like when you take a washcloth after you wash your face and you squeeze it and all the water drips out. That's kind of like the remnants that are falling away, falling out of your heart, falling out of your life. So it's like that's good, it's purifying, and it's making space for better.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And we did, if you don't mind, is it okay if I read this question to you from our viewer and you answer
yes,
for me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, she or he is not happy in marriage. They feel kind of trapped. They actually have feelings for another person. How do they tell their significant other their position there, what's going on?
Okay. So that's going to depend a lot on the type of relationship, the openness, the trust, how intimately they can actually speak from the heart to each other, how well it'll be received. But before that, it's really, really, really important that this person looks at their own patterning in relationships. Because one of the things that happens is to everybody, right, we go through these relationship patterns, these cycles, and we tend to experience love in the very same way with many different people. And it's very important that this individual heal their love patterning, their relationship patterning, so that they do not jump from one relationship into something shiny and new only to create the same pattern again. And this is something that happens on the subconscious level. It's something that they don't intend to do, but it always ends up the same way. And so it's really, really important that this person, like, really look at their own contribution emotionally, what they brought to the relationship, how loving they were, how many skills they developed within the relationship to work on things, to be open-minded, open-hearted in the relationship, and really, really look at the lessons. What lessons did they get from this relationship? If love has left the relationship and their partner is not available to work on things, of course, if it's abusive in any way, it's just time to get out. But if it's just something like the connection has been broken, I strongly urge people in that position to work on that particular relationship. Even if it ends down the road, it's still important to go through all the final steps so that when you do leave that relationship, you go in with a clean slate to something new. But jumping too early will bring the collective energy of the previous or of the current relationship into the future one. And so it's like sabotaging a new connection by not resolving things with your current partner. So I strongly urge that person to just, you know, take a moment, take a step back, don't jump ship, take a moment to recalculate. Really tune in with yourself and ask God, is there any, or God, source, creator, whatever belief system you are, really tune in and ask if you have received all the lessons that you were meant to learn and if you have taught all the lessons that you were meant to teach. And if it truly is time for you to move forward, then you can go about having a sacred ending and really having clarity, peace, love in the separation process. But I still caution about moving too soon into a new connection until all these pieces are healed so that you don't contaminate the new relationship.
I certainly agree with that. Thank you so very much. Yeah, because, I mean, it kind of scares me that with the quarantine, people being quarantined and people having to be with each other more than they would be on a regular basis if they are quarantined together and they, you know, can't go other places, can't get out of the house and go places. That's kind of ruining a lot of relationships, a lot of marriages right now.
Oh, people are just being stretched to the limit. It really is. It's created this last year a lot of divorce, a lot of separation, a lot of resentment within relationship, and a lot of feelings of being trapped. And so when you're feeling trapped, no matter if it's with feeling trapped in a relationship or feeling trapped in a job that's not going somewhere, really don't look at the job or the relationship. The feelings of being trapped are yours, the person that's experiencing and feeling those feelings. And so those feelings of being trapped need to be healed. And you do that through looking at it and through creating new ways of being within yourself so that you don't feel trapped in these situations. And that if you decide to leave the situation or relationship, that you're doing so because you already feel free, not because you're trapped and trying to find freedom, because that's where you boomerang and bring that energy with you forward.
Right. Well, yeah, certainly.
Wouldn't you say that that in order to do that, one must first be honest with themselves?
Yes, be honest with themselves and look at their contribution. You know, I work with many, many clients who will tell me, you know, 10 things that their partner is not good for them. They do this, they do that, they do this, they do that. And I'm like, okay, and how about you? You know, and they really feel like everything is happening to them, and they don't really realize that maybe they pulled away emotionally because they became resentful, you know, 10 months ago or 1 year ago or 5 years ago, and they haven't really been engaged in the flow of love. And they've been holding this energy of resentment, which has created a lot of adverse behaviors in their partner. And then it becomes really mm-hmm. easy to kind of dislike that person because they're behaving towards your energy that's cut off, you know. And so it's really important to look at, like, am I being loving? Am I in the flow? Am I showing up 100%? And you can really make that decision every morning to wake up, you know, full of love and be loving as a partner. And release the day ahead of, you know, that happened yesterday. Waking up with a big open heart and really giving it your all and really cleaning the slate. And then seeing if you can heal the relationship. Healing a relationship is so much more valuable than finding this unicorn, this perfect person that's going to be better to you in the next relationship. It's more important to cultivate who you are in relationship and work with the energy of relationship to see how far you can bring it, to see how happy you can make it.
Because
wow.
First you have to heal yourself before, you know, you work on other things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like we always call those love wins. I'm like, hashtag love win. You know, it's like, oh, I just got over another hurdle. I healed something else in my heart. I healed another perspective. I healed another genetic way of being, something that was handed to me from my ancestors that I've been playing out forever and ever. I thought it was truth, and I found out, no, it's programming. You know, and it's like that's freedom. That's how you free yourself from those feelings of being trapped. And nobody can actually really trap you in a situation or job or relationship. It's the feelings of being trapped within you that need to be healed.
Wow. Well, thank you so very much, Ms. Diana, for coming on with us today.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, if anyone wants to tune in with my broadcast, I go live every Sunday for more love advice. And yeah, I welcome anybody that wants to tune in and learn more about the heart and healing their heart and attracting soulmate love.
I always say there's a lesson to be learned each day. And I thank you for my lesson today, Ms. Diana.
Oh, thank you so much. You're welcome.
We look forward to talking to you next time. I'll be in touch with you.
That sounds great. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you. All right, Miss Jan, what are you doing?
Oh, right now, just killing the kids. The kids go down at about 8 o'clock, and then we try to get, you know, tours and stuff done before we start settling down and everything like that.
Right. Yeah.
So And since we've been in quarantine, I haven't really had the same same routine, the same schedule or anything like that. But normally the latest I work normally is about 9 o'clock at night. That's if I'm closing at one store, and then if I'm closing at the other store, I get off at 8. So I can't complain because I'm usually at home at a decent hour.
Oh, definitely. Especially with two kids.
Oh, yeah. I was thankful when we got a new manager over at Kroger's. I was working pretty much every single night because the previous manager only trusted me to do it. While the trust was gratifying and I appreciated it, I've recently started looking at, even though I have a new manager with more variable shifts, I'm currently looking to see if I can find a full-time job. So so that way I'm home more often. Because, you know, they're 4 and 5. This is the age where they start really remembering and really making connections further than what they did when they were toddlers and infants. So.
Right. Well, we certainly wish you good luck. I know our viewers have been dying for you to tell everybody what a TARP witch is. I have been putting this all over the place that you are a TARP witch.
When I started my research more, once I figured out where I was spiritually in my search for not only a community but more of my individual beliefs, how I feel and everything like that when it came to the topic of spirituality and religion. I noticed my great-grandmother, she was Christian, but she had this wonderful garden. And I do mean it was, she had a garden in her yard, and then she owned a plot of land across the street. And she grew everything. She had herbs, she had spices, she grew her own vegetables. And it was truly amazing. Now, my great aunt tell me, as my grandmother did, she wasn't a very good cook, but she loved to bake, and her rolls were just the best in the family. And then, of course, her vegetables being homegrown and everything. She also owned crystals, and she just kept a collection on her coffee table. And for years, I wondered, why did she have those? She was Christian. Why did she have crystals? Why is there crystals all over my great-grandmother's coffee table? And then when she passed, when I was in third grade, the crystals went to the youngest of my great aunts, who lives in Maryland. And until I hit college, the question always remained, why did Gran have all these crystals? So that was right about when my research began on various religions and where I stayed as an individual amongst it all. So after I had read a book, it was called Book of Shadows by Silver Ravenwolf. And it kind of gives a 101 crash course on how to build a Book of Shadows and the various pantheons that are out there. You could be, in the traditional sense, as a Wiccan or a witch, pagan. We all use it kind of interchangeably, or at least me and my fiance do. It was just a matter of what clicked. And I'm just sitting there, you're scrolling through these gods and goddesses where, okay, I could go more traditional and just say the god and goddess, the lord and lady. Well, what connected with me on a spiritual level was the Norse pantheon, specifically Odin the Allfather. I've always loved ravens. Ravens are so beautiful, right? Ravens, I have also I feel a spiritual connection to them as a familiar, and I hope to have a raven someday. And also, Odin as the all-father brings life, and he also brings death, which brings me to my goddess, which is Hel or Tella, if y'all have watched the Marvel movies. but the traditional name for her is Hel, and she is the goddess of death, the underworld. And she has her own realm. And that just simply fits, because life and death are just a cycle. Life, then you have death, and then from death springs life. And that's where spring as the season connects with me the most, is because you see that cycle come complete every spring when the flowers are growing, where you can just feel the life outside and everything like that. So once I had, you know, reached past all that, I started looking into tea, because I noticed when I drank a specific tea, like green tea, it had the same effect as giving me energy throughout the day. Kind of like a cup of coffee, but with less caffeine in it. Less I was putting into my body and more of the good stuff that's supposed to go in your body. And while I'm still a coffee drinker every morning, as most 27-year-olds are, throughout my experience with COVID, I simply drew from what I already knew when it came to tea, when it came to taking care of myself. And while I don't have everything that I have usually written down, I made a grocery order, picked up some pre-bagged teas that I knew that would help me out. Such as lemon. Lemon is good with vitamin C. And for coughs and colds, while COVID's not cold, the symptoms do mirror when you have a mild case. So I was like, okay. We were also taking vitamins C, zinc, and D by capsule from the vitamin shop. And a lot of these teas you can find at the vitamin shop or at your local grocery store or anything like that. During a pandemic and you're in quarantine, you're kind of hurting for money, so you go with the cheapest option, which was grocery store for the teas. So I have a lemon honey green tea. I have chamomile tea. Chamomile helps me because after I had my son, I was diagnosed with clinical depression and clinically diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. So I find a more natural approach to keeping myself healthy on a mental scale as well as a physical scale works better than prescription medication, because again, you're not putting all the extra chemicals in your body that may not be good for your body depending on who you are. Now, for a lot of people, yes, they do need that. I mean, that is what they need on a day-to-day basis. I just found when I was pregnant and I was taking this medication that it just didn't work for me. Like, I actually felt worse instead of getting better. So I went with a more natural route. And different teas help with different things, such as peppermint's good if you have an upset stomach. Kind of works like Pepto Bismol. Good for the your digestion and stuff like that. But also, something I caution folks with is if you have any allergies, medically speaking, like food allergies or anything like that, you might want to consult a medical professional, because that I am not. That's just, I like to be upfront about that with folks. If you have allergic reactions and stuff, there's certain teas you probably shouldn't have, because you got to look at the nutritional facts and stuff like that. And then what I would like to start doing is grow my own herbs to make my own teas. You can go to Lowe's and buy the little plant pots, because you don't don't need a whole lot of room. You just need like one of those little plots with the little plots with the smaller pots, and just plant the seeds and whatnot. So between teas and also, that's just part of being what's called a kitchen witch. Now, I went from kitchen witch to hearth witch when I had my second apartment, because I wanted to start learning how to clear the negative energy in my home space. Now that I knew how to do it with myself, time to start working on the home as well. And that's when I started looking up different things. I actually went and bought a couple of books for myself. Because by that time I was living in Newport News, so I was not, it was not as easy to get to my friends locally as it had been to for advice and everything. So my personal favorite is when I'm in my room, I like to either put on, you can use a fire, a candle diffuser. You've got the little oil base, and then you just light the tea light underneath, or you can use a little electric one. I have an electric one that I use because I don't have a lot of space at the moment. But I'll put, I really like lavender. Lavender, I feel, gives, it's like chamomile, so it has a calming agent. And before bedtime, it helps you sleep better. Kind of like a good example is like when they have the lavender baby lotion for babies after bath time. And I found that was effective on my kids when they were that small, because it calms the mind and relaxes and everything like that. I also use incense at home, because the incense has the same, it's basically the same as the diffuser. It serves the same purpose. It also works if you are to do a calming ritual on the altar, and that's what kind of just preps, mentally speaking, if you want to do a short prayer to yourself or something like that. Personally, I do, because I don't have a lot of room, I don't do a lot of rituals per se. A lot of my personal prayers are just light a few candles and pray, and get, if I'm in a bad mental state, get myself back to the good mental state and everything like that. And I also put in caution, because I know folks who can't do incense because it sets off like a seasonal allergy or something. A lot of folks with pollen allergies can't really handle that. So, again, consult a medical professional if you need guidance or anything like that, because a lot of medical professionals would be happy to guide you in a different route if you were looking for a more natural approach to things. And also, you're not solely responsible for the energies you bring into your home. It's always good to say it's a new home and it was lived in previously. You may want to just, as a housewarming thing, put a little thin line of sea salt at your doorway. Outside, it doesn't have to be inside, to kind of, release the energies. Not saying that they were bad energies or anything like that, but maybe they left energies behind that you don't feel comfortable having there. So that kind of gets, now if there's any, spirits or anything like that, it's not going to get rid of the spirit, but it does help with the energies in the house if the house was previously lived in. And then, of course, you can do smudging. Now, a more traditional way of doing that is using sage, but again, I prefer lavender, and I do that in my bedroom when, say, I've had a really stressful day at work, and knowing my bedroom is essentially my sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So I will smudge lavender to kind of just give me that peace of mind because I'm chilling, I've had a rough day. So essentially I am taking a chill pill. specific life events that can happen, whether they be good or bad, can also affect your living space. Because the energies that you or your loved ones put out do affect everyone's mindset on a mental and physical scale. And especially one's energies can be affected as well. And then when you're trying to cleanse your home, you always want to make sure your intent is clear. Because if you don't have, say, your intent is not clear and you're doing a verbal cleansing ritual of your home, things can go wrong. And it just depends on what happens with the intent that it went wrong, but it's something to pay attention to, especially if you're looking to cast a spell or a circle, because intent is everything in our religion. Because one of our main things is we pay attention to our creed, which at the end it says you pretty much you can do what you want as long as you don't hurt anybody, and that's where the intent comes in. If your intent is bad, you're gonna hurt somebody, and then you'll have karma threefold. So that's not really something we're looking to do here. When we talk about intent, your intent needs to be clear. And then with another way, if you are sensitive to the incense and the smudging and everything like that, use crystals. And this is where I kind of tied it into what my grand was doing. She, because she was a missionary, so I'm sure she picked up on a lot of things from different cultures. Specifically, black tourmaline and hematite. Now, I wouldn't follow my example on the hematite because I'm really bad about remembering to keep it cleansed. I used to wear hematite rings all the time. I don't know if you noticed, Wendy, but I would walk around Busch Gardens with a hematite ring on. If I did not cleanse it of its own energies regularly because it would absorb my negative ones, I would drop it one day and it completely shattered.
Ooh.
Completely. Like, you can't put it together. I was like, oh, I did that. Okay, then. but you can also take these, you can take these crystals and you can just place them around your house. Just make sure mm-hmm. that you are cleansing them regularly. You don't have to be a neat freak about it. Just make sure you're cleansing your own energies out of it with, like, some salt or something like that. Because if you, I like to take my crystals and put them in hot water mixed with some sea salt. And that kind of does okay. the trick for me. You can, and, of course, you can research various ways to do this. There's no right way to do it because everybody's partial to their own way of doing things. Then the something fun for kids, if you want to get kids involved, clapping. Clapping likes to is sound. So sound likes to break up because it's the vibrations that help break up the energies. So that might make it a little bit fun, kind of like, kind of like dusting or vacuuming, that kind of thing. And if you're looking for a great way to introduce like a 6 or 7 year old to cleansing, that's a good way mm-hmm. to do it because it makes it easier for them to understand, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to salt, you can always get one of those Himalayan salt lamps. Those look so cool when I see pictures of them.
Oh, I know. And that's one thing I want to do.
Same way as the sea salt on the door. You just, like, you place it in, like, your bedroom or your bathroom, and it's really mm-hmm. calming and invigorating. I love it. And then the last thing I'm going to touch on for today is gardening. My father has a straw bale garden every year that he works on. And, of course, I touched on my great-grandmother, my grand, she had this garden in her side yard and then a plot of land across the street with an even bigger garden. And it was so wonderful having my bare feet in the soil all summer. gardening yep. promotes physical, mental, and spiritual health. Because not physically, you're in the soil. You're working with your hands. A lot of people might feel relaxed when they're working with their hands, but if they don't want to do something like woodwork or something like that, the soil actually is good for your mental health because the soil releases a harmless bacteria that stimulates serotonin. So with low serotonin levels are what's normally associated with clinical depression. So if you're working with the soil, it's actually good for you. Your hands might get a little dirty, but mentally you're going to feel better at the end. And then
so definitely.
Gardening is like when you're cleansing the house. It's personal to you. So you plant what you want. You could plant a bunch of flowers, and that may be what is better for you. Or if you're like me, you want to do a lot of herbs to make your own teas. And I know a priestess here in Perry that did mine and my fiance's premarital counseling. And she had this beautiful garden out front. In front of her porch, she has rosemary, she has basil, sage, and every time we walked up, it smelled amazing. I could literally feel my troubles washing away when I stepped on her doorstep. it's really being a hearth witch makes me feel better. In every sense of the word. Ever since becoming a Wiccan in general, I have felt, and as I learn, I feel more in control of myself each day from a clinical standpoint. And while, yeah, there's still the bad days, but I can say at this point definitely the good days outweigh the bad days.
That is so good. I mean, especially if you happen to be quarantined and all that, I'm sure with your knowledge and all the things that you are doing to cleanse yourself and to cleanse your area, it's been, you know, so much better for you because of it.
Definitely. I take into consideration what I know, and you know, and then of course my motto is you learn something new every day, and I can definitely say I've learned something new every day while in quarantine. And then of course it could come anywhere. It could come from my job. It could come from my roommates. I mean, it could come. That lesson comes from anywhere, as long as you have. You have an open mind and you have an open heart.
Right. Well, I know we're all like almost out of time. I definitely want to have you on again. Thank you so very much for coming on with us today.
It's my
very
pleasure. I've always been a fan of helping out small businesses. I used to do computer and cell phone repair at a small business, and my parents own Shades of Our Past in Williamsburg. They are historical interpreters. They do actor interpretation. And you'll probably see my posts quite frequently about them, because whenever they have events like coming up, I'm like, yes, like and share. they're doing a lot With COVID, their business has been affected greatly. They just got around to doing indoor events again with social distancing and masks and everything. But I am glad that business is starting to pick up for them again. For a while, they were just doing free videos online through Facebook Live and then taking donations to keep their business afloat. And, of course, when we got our first stimulus checks, I was like, I'm going to shoot them $50 because they need it more than I do. Because my work, I have a steady job. And they have part-time jobs to kind of, until business picks up a little more. And so I'm like, okay, like, this is how I was raised, to help other people. And I do my best to do so, because there's always someone more unfortunate than me.
This is so true. So if there's any way we can help them, you just let us know. Thank you for coming on. We'll be having you again very, very soon, I hope.
Oh, yes. Usually on Sundays nowadays, the latest I get off is 8 p.m., so I'll definitely be home by 9.
Right, yay. Well, thank you. We'll talk with you soon.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Wendy. Love you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was certainly informative. We want to thank Janet again. Thank you for all the fans, all my friends who've been coming to me and trying to help me get Heart's Bills off the ground. Love to you all, and we hope to see you next week. All right, bye-bye.